Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're all taking care of yourselves, getting through the day. Here in LA, the weather's starting to get a little warm, which kind of bums me out. I was enjoying my, I'm still doing teletherapy, and a lot of times I'll do it as a phone call, and I get to go out and kind of take a little walk, breathe in the cold air. I find that more soothing, the cold air. But whatever you got to do is what you got to do, because remember, self-care is not about doing these one-off things. It's about frequency, right? It's not about duration. It's not about concentration as much as it's about frequency. So really start to build in those daily things. I've had to do that because, you know, what I really want to help people prevent having have happen is find themselves in a really powerfully deep depression. And that's what we're kind of moving towards, right? Because there's a lot of disruption in our schedule, in our lives. Some people are dealing with financial issues and unemployment. We're socially isolating. We don't have access to all the different resources or the things that give us meaning and value throughout our day. Our structure has changed. There's all those memes that are going around, which are, you know, hilarious, where it's like different days of the week. We don't know what they are. And all we have is yesterday, today, tomorrow. And it's a mess. But I want you to know that there are things we can do that will prevent us from falling into these deep, powerful mental health struggles. And it's all about every day doing these different self-care factors so that we don't get there, right? It's about prevention. And so keep thinking about that. What are the preventative things I can do? Because it's when we're feeling great and everything's feeling fine that we want to start these things. Don't wait until things are starting to really feel bad, as though things are falling apart and the struggle's getting bad, before you really make these necessary changes. So really shift them. And we keep talking about the same ones, but it's just as a reminder, it's about connection. Keep paying attention to the levels of connection you're having. I put on my social media a little thing that said, look, we're social distancing, keep 6 feet apart, but it's imperative for those that live alone that you are spending time around other individuals. You meet them outside, you lead them outside, you don't go to each other's places, you don't go anywhere where you're touching anything or each other, you stay 6 feet apart, but you're allowed to go for walks, you're allowed to sit outside in the park. It is important, neurologically and biologically, that we are in contact with others, and contact doesn't mean touch, but it means we are making eye contact, we are hearing them, vocal tone. Some people are living with family members, loved ones. And so for them, it's a different scenario, what they have to be thinking about and worrying about. But again, for those that live alone, you have to be around other people. Now, if you are living in a city or for whatever reason, you're not able to physically leave the home, it is about the Skype, the FaceTime, and sending photos and phone calls. That's the best you're going to be able to do. But please center that. I don't want you going the entire day without ever having in any form connected with another human being. Now, for those that are living with other individuals and cohabitating, you have to have with everyone a big sit-down meeting about boundaries. Everyone has to be on the same page. I want everyone feeling safe and comfortable with how people are living their lives, because every time someone exits the home and comes back, you are possibly setting up everyone that you're living with at the risk of contamination and infection, because it's about surfaces. And we've talked about how different surfaces, the virus can live on it for different lengths of time, from hours to days. Cardboard, wood, metal, copper, it's all different. So again, sit down all the people you're cohabitating with and have an agreement. It's a big trust thing about hygiene and boundaries and social distancing, because we have to feel safe that the different surfaces that we're touching, the different fabrics, our couch, doorknobs, counters, that everyone's following the rules. Now, please disinfect as frequently as possible. Wash your hands. But again, cohabitating, we have to have agreements made. So now's when you have to sit down with the roommate that you might not be that close with, or the family member that you're arguing with, or your loved loved one that you feel distant from, and you have to have those conversations. But again, people that are living on their own, complete isolation is psychologically toxic. Isolation is one of the most detrimental things for our psychology and our mental well-being. So again, we have to find the ways we can connect. Now, what's also really funny is people are on my social media getting mad at me as though I somehow created the virus and what's needed to prevent it. Look, don't get mad at me, because I'm telling you, you cannot leave your home and go visit your boyfriend or girlfriend or have a date. Be mad at the world, be mad at the virus, be mad at people that eat meat and have spread it. However you want to get mad, that's fine. But I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just delivering the important message that we are where we are. Things are the way they are. And the precautions we have to take is what we have to take. I'm not any more happy about it than you are. So I'm sorry you haven't seen your boyfriend or girlfriend, or your mother, father, aunt, and uncle in a long time. But the better we are at following these rules, the shorter this has to go on. So remember that. If you break the rules around social isolation and distancing, you are creating the longevity of this. We want to wrap this up as soon as possible. Bad boy Trump just got on and said that we're extending a lot of this concern now till April 30th. So that means we already have an entire month more ahead of us. Let's not extend that any further. So my empathy goes out to those that are feeling disconnected from their loved ones, their relationship, their family members. But this is what it looks like. And we have to be willing to err on the side of caution. And again, luckily we have technology. I don't know how we would have managed this had this pandemic happened at a time when we didn't have such beautiful, amazing technology. You know, Zoom meetings, these apps where people can hang out together and play games and see each other. This is just what we have to do. But please, 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 I'm still seeing those stories of people throwing dinner parties and game nights and potlucks. Please, not only do not attend those, please have a powerful conversation about your friends and making sure they're not attending. And the jerks that are throwing these events, please have an educating, you know, compassionate but stern conversation with the fact that they are not helping anything or anyone. And they're putting a lot of people at risk, and they're setting a really bad standard, because I'm seeing some really horrible things in the news about people throwing potlucks, dinners, game nights, and even things like sex parties. So y'all, this is about community care, right? We can't be selfish and just consider our own needs. We have to look out for others and know that everything we're doing is impacting everyone around us and making this harder. So for those that are feeling healthy and not vulnerable and they're thriving, that's great. But there's others that are doing horrible with this and they're struggling, and you're not helping them or anyone around them. So be way more thoughtful, please. All right, question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. And as always, you can check out all of our old podcasts if you want to check them out, because you know y'all got all the downtime in the world. You can go to theradio.com or We Are Channel Q. All the episodes are posted. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. 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 Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And, we're talking about all things COVID-19. Look, the news is constantly changing, and that's why I think it's really imperative that we're keeping up with the facts while also balancing it out with self-care. And also remember, though, I'm doing nightly, I'm listening Stay Connected, and that is at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's live streaming, and you can check that out on all the radio.com handles, the radio.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And the reason why we're doing that is, again, it's part of the I'm Listening Mental Health Initiative, which is, and this is kind of what I'm focusing Loveline on right now for all of you, is just getting us more comfortable talking about our mental health, because that's what's going to help us really get through this. And again, every time we talk confidently and vulnerably about our mental health, we're communicating to those around us that it's safe for them to do that as well. And that's what's going to really help us get through this, because, you know, not to catastrophize, but I'm really curious to see the new psychological syndromes that are going to come out of this. And we can't really tell yet what that's going to be, but the shifting in our confidence, our finances, our identity, our socialization, our resources, all of that, it really is going to throw us off. I mean, I can't think of a time other than maybe when you have the flu for a couple of days, the general flu, or you're traveling or an injury. That's the only time when our lives are so powerfully disrupted on this level. So it's really a fascinating time. And this is why, again, we have to be smart. I'm looking here at an article of a choir. A choir decided to go ahead and still hold practice, completely ignoring social distancing because somehow they thought that that was more important. Well, 40 of the 50 people at the choir are now positive for COVID-19. 40 of the 50. 3 are in the hospital and 2 died. Okay, that is unacceptable. And that's why we have to really get really smart. They're basic needs. A choir and singing, that is not a basic need. People, please. Like, that is not something that's essential. And when you're setting yourself up as a risk, that's a warning sign. Hear that again. 40 of the 50 are positive. 3 are in the hospital in critical condition, and 2 have died because they thought it was imperative to still work on and come together for their choir practice. That is unacceptable. So what else is unacceptable is there's a horrible group called Twinks for Trump, and they hosted a Corona potluck. And this was over 20 people crammed into this apartment. And it's really offensive. The flyer said, please don't wash your hands and bring your favorite food. Now, the reason why this is offensive is, again, this is getting spread because not everyone who's positive is symptomatic. So some people are positive and carriers and don't even know that they could spread it. Others are positive and don't know they have it. And some just don't think it's bad enough and are still going out. So this is heinous. And they're touching things and coughing and spreading and spreading. So again, just because you don't think you're of the age or having respiratory issues, we now know that there are infants and people that are under 18 and people in their 20s that are healthy otherwise that are not only positive but are also passing away. I just had another friend in his late 20s pass away from this who was very healthy. This is something serious. When I find out that people are throwing potlucks or they're having choir practice, there's the congregations, there's a pastor that's been arrested because he was still having his mega group come for services. Like, this is ridiculous. And even here in LA in Brentwood, you know, they're still having their farmers market. And I was looking at the photos of these crowds of people. Listen, y'all, you do not need fresh bread and fresh flowers from the farmer's market right now. This is ridiculous. Please, when you see crowds of people, back away. Organizers. I mean, here in LA, if you want to get your groceries, they are lovingly having taped out 6 feet apart and they're letting only a certain number of people in the store. So I'm blown away that these events and these farmers markets are just letting the amount of people they want in there. Look, this is a public health issue, and it's just so thoughtless and callous to not be considering the way you're impacting those around you. And I could go on and on about this, but these stories are heartbreaking. Anyone who's at this Twinks for Trump event, those 20 people are bringing home possible infections to their loved ones or people they're passing by on the street or touching things. And that's what we're talking about, just even how to grocery shop in a safer way, where they're saying, look with your eyes and have a list of what you want, but don't be picking up things. Only pick up and touch the things you want because of spreading and also contracting. And we were talking on I'm Listening, Stay Connected with Dr. Jen Wider about the fact that maybe it is a smart idea for you to be wearing a mask, not the really, really, you know, N95 powerful mask, but a general cloth cover, whether it's a bandana or a piece of fabric, that maybe now to protect others and yourself, that actually is smart and to be wearing the gloves. I mean, that's how bad it is. I'm looking at the numbers and it's supposed to skyrocket in the next 2 weeks. That's a long period of time. And the states, the U.S. is at the epicenter, especially New York. And New York, my heart goes out to y'all because I'm watching you guys still crammed in the subways and in the crowds. I do not know how y'all are surviving. But, you know, here in the states, it's the number one place. And the numbers are rising, not slowly. They're rising quickly overnight. The numbers are in the hundreds. And it's heartbreaking to constantly see these lives being taken. And that's why, you know, I was on my own private social media, really, really distraught about the fact that we have people like Jeff Bezos, the greedy, greedy pig from Amazon, posting a picture of him in his yacht saying, taking care of myself out at sea. And it's like, you know, you could just really wipe out a lot of people's debt and other issues by donating money, but you're at sea. Now, people were so grossed out by that picture of him on his yacht that he took down his entire social media. And that's what that looks like. Like, don't be flaunting your wealth. I was talking on another show, another Loveline episode about Madonna. All of her associates and her caregivers are like trapped in her home with her, and she's in a, you know, bath with flower petals everywhere talking about it's a great equalizer. Like, y'all, be a little more thoughtful about the things you're posting and the things you're saying, because there are people that are struggling to get diapers, struggling with housing, they're housed with domestic violence individuals or people that are using, and their, you know, sobriety's on the line. Like, just a little more care, love, and compassion. So anyway, Loveline's got your back, though. Like I said, radio.com. We are Channel Q for past episodes. We're going to be here every night, and I'm listening Stay Connected every night at 5 East, Pacific, 8 Eastern. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the night, as always, it's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight is about ways to help others deal with feeling isolated. But right now, we've got body positivity and body neutrality expert Ryan Sheldon joining us.
What's wrong with being confident?
What's up, Ryan?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really well. And I wanted to have you come on, just give some tips, because I'm, you know, talking to my clients via phone and Skype, and also individuals writing into the show. And one of the things that's coming up a lot is people are panicking about not having access to their normal routine. And for those that are struggling with their relationship with their body, and they're not able to get to the gym, or they're not able to work out and exercise or move their body, what tips or advice do you have for them?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think that, like, this is, you know, it's a time where it's like, it's a trying time. Like, I don't think anybody really expected, like, or has planned for this. So I think, like, the biggest thing is, like, what's happening is, like, there's a shift in our structure, in our routines that's happening. And that's really hard. So I think that, like, the first tip is, I think everybody needs to give themselves a break. Be kind to yourself, because it takes a while to switch up your routines, right? It took me so long to build a routine that I was comfortable with, and now everything is changing because I haven't left my apartment since Friday.
And it's understandable, as you just said, like, that's going to spike your anxiety when you get really comfortable with what you need to do, and then your quote-unquote medicine's taken away.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, it's funny because I have, like I said, I have a dog, so I've been taking my dog out on walks, and that's been nice, but I'm scared to go outside. So, like, as I'm inside, like, something that I found that's been really helpful for me, because I have a lot of anxiety as is, and I, like, have ADD, and I can't sit still, I've been trying to practice yoga.
Mm.
Because that's something that's been, like, very, I'm looking at, like people, like, working out as, like, a mental health therapy type of
yes.
a thing. What's going to relieve my anxiety? And I found that yoga has been very helpful for me.
Are you doing that with a video or online?
I am doing that on YouTube.
Okay.
Like, for people that don't want to, you know, pay for yoga classes, fine. You can do that on YouTube.
Beautiful. And that's calming you down and soothing you.
That's calming me down, and that's soothing me also. But I think that, like, you know, that what's coming into, like, play bigger with me and with a lot of people that have been reaching out to me on Instagram has been, they're stuck at home, and then what happens with food? Because they're stocking up their kitchens because everybody's hoarding so much food, and then they're, like, they're tempted to eat all this food, or and their eating disorder voice is coming in their head, and then that's, you know, messing up their perception of their body. So, like, what do you do in times of those, I think, is the bigger question. And I think for me, it's, like, the best advice that I can, you know, give is, like, A, it's, like, again, these are trying times. No one's expected this, but I think that it's okay if you eat more than you usually eat, right? I don't think that you should be, you know, be too hard on yourself. We're all stuck in our homes at this time, and I think that, like, food is a big trigger for a lot of us. So I think just really being kind is, like, the only thing that I can, you know, stress enough, because it's just been the amount of people reaching out on Instagram has been really
and I love that because I was also looking at some parenting experts talking to parents, and they're kind of saying the same thing in a different way, where they're like, you know, now's not the time to really be weighing on your kids' shoulders about if they're eating the ice cream or not. They're like, let the kids have ice cream, let them play an extra hour or two of video games, like, let go, it's a little bit of a snow day, let people just have some joy and fun and distraction, and don't stress about, you know, if they're eating the healthiest foods or going to bed on time. Like, now's not the time to get tense about those things.
Not at all. And, like, remember, you're human. Like, we all, you know, we are all make mistakes. And I'm doing air quotations because I don't really believe in mistakes. I think everything happens for a reason. But I think that, you know, like, just being kind to yourself and not allowing this to, like, throw you in a downward spiral. I think that, like, you know, I don't like to say misery likes company, because I don't think that I'm miserable, but I think that knowing that other people are experiencing what I'm currently experiencing is such a relief to some degree. I'm not the only person out there that's struggling with the fact that, like, I have a kitchen stocked with food and I haven't left my apartment, and what am I going to do? Am I going to binge on it?
Yeah, and I appreciate also, because I know it myself personally, right? Like, I had learned what I needed to feel at my best. If I needed to, how many times a week I had to hike, how many times a week I was going to go to the gym, where I like to eat. And when all of that was pulled away, one of the other things I was left with, and you kind of said this when you said, like, your eating disorder voice emerges, I had to listen and encounter all the voices that I had maybe not been willing to encounter, I'd been stuffing down. And so it's like, be kind with yourself, and also, like, lean into it a little bit. Like, this is where we're going to learn a little bit about ourselves. This is where we're gonna do a little self-therapy.
100%. This is, like, we're gonna, like, after this is over, you can have, like, a retrospective on this period of time and be like, wow, like, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be.
Right.
Well, I don't know. You're like a big gym guy. What are your thoughts around this?
Well, you know, it was when I saw that the gyms were closing, that was my first thought, is the gym is really helpful for me with depression and anxiety. It really helps me also burn off the excess energy. I tend to skew high energy, and for me to be able to sleep well, I have to really like burn that off. And that was my first thought. What am I going to do? What I've been doing is, number one, I live in somewhat of an isolated area, so I'll go for walks twice a day in the morning and at night to get sunshine and fresh air. I go for a walk. I stay away from people. I make sure I change when I get home if I wore something that maybe brushed up against anything, because I'm being very cautious. But I go for a walk, and that at least I'm getting out of my space. But as far as being at home, I'm still trying to move my body. And so I've been looking into the different online workouts that you use your body weight and you can use your furniture. Because again, it's not about how I look. I'm trying to make it about how I feel and movement. And so home workouts, that's what I'm going to be doing.
Ideal. I have a couple of friends who are personal trainers, and they're stressed out because like their businesses now, gyms are closed, so they can't work out with people. But a lot of their clients are calling them, and they're having them work out at home over FaceTime with using their body weight and or furniture at the house. So I think that that's also a great thing. I think it's just like what am I going to do that's going to help my mental state? That's what I care about most.
Yeah, and it's a time where we actually learn that we can do more at home than we kind of thought we could, like using your body, stretching, doing yoga. And again, it's not ideal, but these are one of those times where we have to practice like the good enough model. Like enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing actually. Side note, like I realize how much money I'm saving by not leaving my apartment.
Oh yeah.
It's insane.
My budget expands. Yeah, and I appreciate that. So also you're a resource. What are your social media channels? Because I want people to be able to also access all the stuff you're posting out there, because I think right now technology is going to be our best friend.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Real Ryan Sheldon, and that's like I'm trying to be as engaging as possible with my followers, because it's everybody wants a place to vent and to ask questions, and I think it's super important to, you know, now is the time to use social media for the benefit, like for the good cause, for the good reasons.
Yeah, I also saw a video, and I was doing 1,000 things, so I wasn't able to tap into where it is, but there was a trainer that was on his roof, and he was live streaming and letting people in the buildings around him watch him work out. Where was that happening? Did you see that?
I didn't see that, but I know that that's happening all around. People are like, it's not just trainers, it's like musicians are also streaming live concerts with no audience, but just for their fans to watch. I think that's such an amazing thing to do, because it's like giving back to the community.
I love that. Ryan Sheldon, thank you so much. Be well, okay?
Thank you. You guys as well.
Have an awesome night. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. It's about things that couples do that really annoys you. Time for our DMs, though. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. My girlfriend and I have been together for more than a year. Recently, there was this male friend who admitted that he has feelings for her. Cool. We talked about this, and she told me how sorry she felt for him and that she will stay away from him so his feelings could vanish. A couple of months later, they're still talking, and she's commenting on his pic on Instagram with a heart emoji. Scandal. Honestly, this is kind of bothering me. Yeah, I get it. What should I tell her? Am I ridiculous for reacting this way? Not to mention that she's been kind of distant lately. Whenever I try to talk to her about these types of things, she always shuts down and guilt trips me for asking. What do you think the best option is? Well, yeah, you got to talk about it. I'm always about vulnerable conversations, the difficult ones to have, especially if you want a really healthy relationship, because there's always going to be things to talk about. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that someone reports interest in your girlfriend and then she's come. I mean, look, here's the thing. Social media, the whole point of social media is social interaction. So we follow each other. People comment on each other. So there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't want to lean in terms of what we call toxic monogamy, where, you know, your partner's not allowed to comment on people's posts or follow people. Like, you got to get over that part. But this person in particular, I don't know why she's posting hearts when they've professed interest in love. I mean, that's just not kind, right? That would be called her leading him on, or her instigating his interest, or her keeping it alive. So that's just not nice. So I don't know that you should be threatened as much as you should point out, like, wow, that's not really going to help him get over you. And if that's your goal, that's not the way to do it. Like, what's that about? I would enter the conversation from that point, less accusatory and jealous. Because again, if you're in a relationship with someone who you trust, then there should be nothing to worry about. She could be posting whatever emojis she wants. Also, how do you know that she's doing that? oh, I know how you know. You're policing and looking at what she's liking. Stop doing that. Like, the goal in the new year is for us to all to be adults and trust each other and to be looking at what your plus one and loved one is liking and commenting. That's you being very anxious. And clearly you've been doing that, and that's how you found this. And so the question is, why are you doing that? If you don't trust her, you need to talk about that or leave or work on your trust issues. Because that's my first question is, you're doing things that you found that. Cool. There you go. All right, here we go. Here's another one. Hey, Dr. Chris, yesterday I had to go to the emergency room for a mental health event. I'm starting the process of getting on an antidepressant and attending therapy, but yesterday got pretty wild, and my assistant head of department had to drive me to the ER during work. I recently went on a date with a girl, but I don't know how to move forward with her. I'm not back to my optimal level, and I don't know if I should tell her what happened or just leave her in the dark and try to force myself back up when I'm around her. This is a pretty big thing that happened, and we're pretty casual, so any advice? Yeah, this is really a tough one. Because again, I am a fan in early dating of us withholding, sharing really deep, truly triggering things. People have to earn their right to such intimacy and depth. Early dating is about connecting and sharing things, but talking about, you know, our past addiction or maybe things are triggering, like having been in prison, or I don't even know what it might be, but those are things people earn. And once they get to know us, they may be willing to work through that. If we divulge these things too soon, it's usually our anxiety and our need for acceptance, and they don't know us, and so they're not willing to stick around. But if you're struggling this deeply where you had to go to the emergency room for mental health and then recently your department head had to drive you to the ER, you're probably not in a place to be worrying about or focusing on someone else and their feelings in a relationship. And so I might send them a loving text letting them know, hey, I think you're great, enjoyed spending time with you, but I have some priorities in my life that I need to focus on. When I'm feeling more available, I'll circle back, and if interested, I'd love to take you out. So I think you should do that. Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Bella Thorne Whoopi Goldberg scandal, leaked nudes. Listening to Loveline on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. We are now going to be talking with Mr. Jake Shears from the Scissor Sisters, talking about mental health. Jake, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
What's up? Hi. Excellent. Thanks. How you doing?
I'm really well. I'm so thankful you were going to join us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you contacting me.
Yeah. So one of the things we're really trying to do with the show tonight is destigmatize talking about our mental health. I want people to get really confident, comfortable talking about it. So the first question I want to ask you is, how is your mental health right now? How are you feeling?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I think the number one thing that I made sure that I took care of was to get all the meds that I needed, you know, right away, and kind of stock up on stuff. And that's what I would, you know, kind of recommend to anybody, is just to make sure that you've first of all got any medication that you're taking, to have it accessible and have as much of a surplus as you can.
Yeah. And I think that's really important to point out. We get out now, because what we're really trying to talk about endlessly is people staying home as much as possible. So if you can kind of round it all up with one trip out of the house or do as much as you can, it's going to be helpful.
Yeah. But I'm doing great. I'm here with my boyfriend and my dog. We've just been having a really nice time together. I feel like it's a really great opportunity right now to kind of bond with your lovers and your partners that you're with. And, you know, I feel like I've kind of been learning some stuff. It's a very unnatural sort of way of living for a minute. And it's like something that we've all got to really get used to and sort of get our head around. But I feel like I've been learning quite a bit just from this scenario.
I love that. You know, trying to add like a little bit of a positive spin, because I think there is some beauty to be found in some of these moments, right? And kind of what you're saying, where we're learning about ourselves, we're learning about our relationships. So are you two practicing a lot of time together, but also taking some time apart while together?
Absolutely. Organizing time apart, organizing time together, getting up in the morning, making sure, getting all the stuff we need to take care of right away, and then get our work done, you know, spend a couple hours or a few hours just doing the stuff that we need to be doing, work-wise, and then making food, having lunch together, you know, just kind of sort of organizing the day in a way where we have time apart and being able to also read each other's kind of just, you know, learning to read each other better, to know when to sit back, knowing when someone needs sort of time on their own. It's hard too in small spaces sometimes, you know, to feel like you've got distance, but really trying to make the space as malleable as possible for each other.
Yeah, yeah, because again, a lot of conflict can come up when you're with them around the clock. All but those little things. Yeah.
The best, the most amazing thing that I feel so fortunate that we've got is my little dog, Toby. And I think that that's pets can really, they are an amazing buffer and a really great, they're really wonderful to have at moments like this.
That's beautiful. And so as far as just your art, are you feeling as though this is also inspiring some of your music in a way that you hadn't before?
Not at the moment. Okay. At the moment, I've just kind of been trying to do things that I enjoy doing. Like I've been playing a ton of video games. I've been just catching up on, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 and Resident Evil 2 and, you know, Doom Eternal and just like having fun with that kind of stuff and reading a lot of books. These are things that I just love to do. So I've really not been worried about getting any work done I've not been stressed out about that. But as time goes on, I definitely think that's going to be something that I'm going to really start building into my own schedule. And that'll be something that I'm going to start getting. I'm going to get bored enough to where that's what I'm going to want to be doing. But for now, I'm just letting myself get bored and keeping my awareness about what's going on, what's happening. I just think that's really important in staying home and staying away from everybody.
Yes.
I think is just like the bottom line. Yes. And really being super conscious. And that is hard in, more dense environments and more dense cities. And I'm in New Orleans right now. And, you know, this town, I got to say, it has been really tough for this town because everybody, you know, this is the friendliest city in the country. You know, people just love to hug and touch and talk and be close to each other, and it's been very abrupt and strange for everyone here, I think, to be cutting that off. And you know, I've really been trying to encourage my friends and everybody I know to take that really seriously.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm watching some people posting pictures here in LA where they're hiking and it's beautiful. I tell people go for walks, get some fresh air, get some sunlight. But unfortunately in LA, we still don't quite have it down where they're doing it in packs of like 8 and 12 and there's like inches apart. And I'm like, you guys, so the mayor and the governor have started shutting down the parks because if you can't play nice with your toys, you got to have them taken away.
Yeah, no, it's really not. It's if you want to go to a park or something, if it seems like if it's too many people there, turn around and go back from where you came from. It's like, you know, these parks can be great environments, but if there's a lot of people there, you've really got to keep your distance if you're out there exercising. I went out the other day and I was able to kind of be in the middle of a field and a park near Tulane and that was great, but you know, there were spots in the park that I saw that there were kind of congregations of people. And that's really something to watch out for. And, you know, I decided that I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I'm just not even exercising outside at this point. I'm taking my dog for walks and that's about it.
And I love that. I mean, we're in our culture, we're so obsessed with our worth and value being tied to productivity and getting things done and structure. And so I like hearing someone like you, who's really busy, have a lot going on always, saying like, I'm giving myself the time to just do nothing. And I think that that's imperative right now for mental health.
Yeah. And to get your head around what's happening, because this is really a very, you know, it's a really serious moment. And I think, you know, it's good that we can kind of entertain each other on social media and be funny and make each other laugh. At the same time, you know, a dear New York, a beloved New Yorker passed away this morning.
I saw that,
you know, and that's just made it very, it's sobering. You know what I mean? It's sorry about that. Son.
It's okay.
It's just a sobering moment. You know, it's suddenly just everything is, you know, it's very real. And, I think that it's just good to give yourself time to kind of get your head around that. We don't need to be necessarily writing, you know, our great novel right now, or making hit songs. I think that'll come with time, but definitely it's not the time to beat yourself up over it.
Beautiful. Jake Shears, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And just tons of love out to everybody, and to you, and just like everybody stay safe. And just sending my thoughts and love out to everybody.
Beautiful. Have a great night, Jake. Thank you.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Right now, more than ever, we need to be looking out for ourselves, but also those around us. And the way we do that is by contact and checking in. Why? Because by nature, humans are social beings. We are born in relationship, we grow in relationship, and our brains are literally social organs. It's imperative now, but also evolutionarily, that we stay connected to others. That is part of mental health. Now, our central nervous system mandates that we have a lot of connection. The way we feel most connected is eye contact, touch, and time together. But due to circumstances which are happening right now, we're not able to get all of our needs met. And so we have to find alternative ways of doing so. Voice and sight is going to be right now your best friend for you to work on your mental health. A lot of individuals are slowly starting to drop into anxiety and depression. And that's why we use this word co-regulation. And what that means is sometimes we don't have the capacity on our own to deal with all that's coming at us from the outside. But what's beautiful about our brains and our bodies is that we can utilize other individuals in our lives as a resource to help us maintain our mental health. So now more than ever, we need to be checking in on others and staying connected. Again, using technology to soothe ourselves and other individuals via making eye contact and also hearing their voices. So please, please, please take advantage of that. I want people to be reaching out to each other. It's imperative, especially as the news continues to move fast and to really, really, really spike our anxiety. Because now, more than ever, it's imperative that we are really centering our mental health. And one of the most powerful ways we can do that is by talking about what's going on with us. So that's going to be the focus of tonight's show. I want to start off, though, by reminding everyone the importance of social distancing. I'm still watching the news and seeing a lot of local governments that are still allowing a lot of larger party congregating. And so I want to remind us that it's upon us to think a little bit larger than just what's impacting us directly. We used to think that the high-risk individuals were those of an older age and also that had respiratory issues, but we're now seeing studies coming out that are actually broadening the breadth of those that are at high risk, including many individuals in their 20s. So again, it's imperative that we're focusing on keeping social distance and self-isolation as a center point for what's going on currently in our lives. For those that want to join the conversation, you can send your tweet questions at hashtag I'm listening, and we'll be answering those throughout the show, as well as taking some of your calls. I also want to talk for a minute about boundaries. There's a lot of people posting images and videos that are focusing on physical care, right? The workouts. But any discussion about health that doesn't also include mental health is an incomplete definition. Now, a lot of us are trapped home. We're trying to keep our work life going, our family life, and also working on our own mental health and functioning. So I want to remind us that we want to take a break from some of the work. It's okay now to flip your phone over, put it on silent, and check in with the amount of hours that we're putting into work. We don't necessarily have to be readily available around the clock. Again, we're experiencing a collective trauma. And the way that we can mitigate it being an ongoing impact is by taking time to have breaks, by taking time to sit in some stillness, and again, focusing on self-care. And remember, self-care are all the things you do that have no productivity tied to them. So I'm imploring all of you, I'm supporting all of you, and I'm actually prescribing for all of you that I want you to take time away from individuals. I want you to take baths. I want you to go for walks away from individuals. I want you to eat all the things that are making you feel grounded. I want you to give give yourself a break around the dieting and some of the working out. I want you to do the puzzles. I want you to do all the things that bring you joy and bring you some happiness. Now more than ever, we have to do that because, again, we're all suffering a small scale trauma. And what we really want to do is prevent it from being a larger problem. Please reach out to your therapist, engage your support systems. But again, more importantly, destigmatizing mental health means talking about things. So please work on developing the intimacy and the confidence that comes from talking to those around you about how you're feeling mentally, because what that also does is gives them permission and confidence to do so back.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, y'all. It is that time. Time for some DMage.
Sliding into the DMs.
Oh, yes. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. And we want y'all to explore that bad old world with some confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm a little weirded out because my boyfriend has been sending me, more like spamming me, with love texts lately at night when I'm asleep. Wow, that must be rough, getting love notes from someone while you're sleeping. Like, I wake up in the morning having received on my phone 15 texts. Okay, now you're clarifying. Thank you for the clarification. I'll wake up having received 15 texts from him saying, I love you, I miss you, a heart emoji, a kiss emoji. He's only been doing this for the past 2 days. I think he's up drinking. I'm going to be dead honest with you. Weird part is he's never really been into texting much before. That's why I find it strange. Me too. I think he's drunk. Should I be worried about this as a sign of something? No, I think he's drunk. What is someone doing up that late at night, firing off 15 texts in a row? Yeah, I think he's drunk. That's the only time I'm doing something like that, right? Am I right? I mean, I don't think he's lapsing into some state of psychosis. It's interesting that he never texts you otherwise and only does it at late hours of the night. That's my point. That he only does it while they're sleeping? Hey, okay, so Samantha's saying maybe he's that clingy, where during the day you're available, he can see you, so no need to do so, but while you're sleeping, he's up all night just expressing love and missing you.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, it is weird. I think it's because he's drunk. He's drinking. But again, no, you know, take the text. So it is. I'm happy to wake up to 15 love notes from people. I am mad. There's a lot of people that wishes they could get one. You got 15. Don't be greedy. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, my girlfriend and I live 70 miles away. We spend every weekend with each other, Friday through Sunday night and some weekdays. Awesome. Been dating for 7.5 months. At about 6 months, she asked me to move in with her. Told her that I wasn't ready for it and that's not as simple as it would be if we lived closer. She lives far enough away that I would have to change jobs. Yep, it's a big deal. Over the last few weeks, she's brought it up at least a dozen times. Wow, and we're having arguments about it. If I say that I'm not ready for that step, she sees it as me not being committed to her. Toxic monogamy. The other day, I offered to move closer to her about 45 miles away and get an apartment near the train station. I could take the train to work and therefore keep my job. I'd be 45 minutes from her, unlike the current 90, but she wasn't for it. She wants to move in. Is she being completely irrational? Yes, she is. And then your other question was, am I being insensitive to her needs? No, you're not. You've been dating for 7 months, which for some people it's a long time, for others it's not. You'd have to leave your job. Like, that's a big deal. I actually think she's being a little disrespectful. Like, she's not having to do anything. She wants you to move in with her. She gets to keep her jobs, her friends, her familiarity, her comfort. She wants you to give all that up. Tell her that you're happy to live together. She'll move in with you and leave her job and move in the other direction. Let's see how open to that she is, because I don't like the idea of people doubting people's level of commitment when they won't do what they want. Right? Because your commitment isn't based on your willingness to not disappoint your partner. We can love someone, be very committed, and let them down and disappoint them because we set boundaries and we take care of ourselves. And that's what you're doing. At 7.5 months, I don't know that you should feel at any point if you don't want to leave your job or move, you shouldn't have to. But that the right framework isn't, are you committed? It should just be, are you comfortable doing that? And if she cares about you, she would respect that and say, yeah, it's a lot to ask. And I don't hear her saying, I'll meet you halfway. We'll move somewhere in the middle. It just sounds like the onus is on you to do the heavy lifting. And it's being framed as, you know, you would do it if you're committed to me. So that's a red flag. You're not being insensitive. I think it's definitely irrational. So you have my support in saying, I'm just not there yet. It's too big of an ask. But if she wants to do it, let her do it. Let her move next door. You know, get an apartment down the block. All right, Science DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. That is our show. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. You guys have an awesome, awesome, awesome night. Good night.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.